upon life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, you're thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. You count your blessings and see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? And does the cross seem heavy that you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. You count your blessings, you see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their land and their gold, think that Christ has promised you a wealth untold. Count your many blessings that money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven, and not your end on home on high. Oh, count your blessings and name them one by one. You count your blessings and see what God hath done. You count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till the journey's end. Oh, count your blessings and name them one by one. You count your blessings and you see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their land and their gold, you think that Christ has promised you a wealth untold. You discount your many blessings that money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven and your home on high. Oh, count your blessings and name them one by one. You count your blessings and you see what God hath done. You count your blessings, name them one by one. many blessings, and you'll see what God hath already done.
And I trust we see some of those blessings this morning. Let us turn to the second chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 2. And let us begin reading with verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I want to speak this morning on God's instrument of change. Verse 4, we read, but God, who is rich in mercy. And then we find the change that comes. There are many who have pointed out this wonderful truth. The little word but indicates change, either for better or for worse. Here we read, but God. And it tells us exactly the same thing, that it is God who makes the changes. And today I want to see that most assuredly the changes he has made for us are for the better. The first thing I want to see, however, is that Jesus is the reason for those glorious changes that God has made in this world and indeed in our lives. It is beautifully illustrated, this particular truth, illustrated by the very creation. We read in Genesis 1 that the world was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. But then when we go to the first chapter of John, we read, all things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All of the creation, all of the changes that God makes in our lives is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul mentions Christ Jesus a number of times in this little short portion of Scripture that we have read. John 3:16, that verse that we have loved from our childhood, which we learned in Sunday school, is really a glorious pattern of this same truth. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but, here comes the change, shall have everlasting life. We see this pattern beautifully demonstrated here in this entire text that we have read this morning. As we see here in verse 2, in verse 1 of chapter 2, he has quickened us, and then follows all of these changes that God has made from what we were to what he would have us become. We notice, first of all, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, we walked according to the course of this world. That was according to the prince of the power of the air, that is, satanic power, which was manifest in all of us. And then we find it was the spirit, the very spirit within us, that now works in the children of disobedience. And in verse 3, we had our conversation or our manner of life in the lust of the flesh. We were controlled by this very fleshly nature which we obtained from Adam. We were by nature the children of wrath. And then we come to verse 4, but God. And this is where the change begins to happen. It began to happen with us at that day that we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of His mercy, because of His love, and we were indeed quickened us together with Christ. We were quickened, or we were given life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is such a wonderful blessing for us to have in our experience that Jesus has made such changes in us. This same glorious pattern of truth will not turn there, but in Romans 5 we read these very familiar words, but God. And then he begins to list these glorious changes that have been made because of Christ. But God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet in the state that is described here in Ephesians 2, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That again, the instrument of change that God has used in our experience. Much more than being justified as blood, we'll be saved from wrath through him. Again, this change from a way of destruction through to be saved from wrath through him. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so God has wrought all of these glorious changes from what we had and what we were into these glorious, wonderful things in Christ Jesus. And so I want to notice that all of that began with the new birth. All of that began with this new life which he gave us when he quickened us in Christ Jesus. Sadly, that's as far as many Christians go. They know they're saved, they know they're going to heaven, but they really do not allow him to continue with all of the glorious advantage of this little term, but God, because he has made countless changes in our lives and will continue to do so if we give him that opportunity. And so here in verse 6, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, or in the heavenlies. Once again, it is in Christ Jesus. I want to concentrate on this little part here. He has made us sit together. He has made us to sit with Christ. Where is Jesus? He is sitting at the right hand of God. What a wonderful change that God has made in our lives. He has said, Jesus told us when he was here, that we are in the world, but not of it. We know what it is to be in the world. We know all of the frustrations, the anxieties, the needs, the pains, the sorrows, all of these things that go on round about us. But Scripture tells us we don't have to live in that realm. We are not of the world. We can take our place by faith and actually sit with Christ in the heavenlies. To sit with Jesus at the right hand of God means that we are in the very presence of God. I was so blessed as I thought on this and knew another man that experienced the same thing. As I said, we know all of these characteristics of the world going on round about us. But when Moses was up in the top of the mount on Mount Sinai, God promised him, "My presence shall go with you." We have exactly the same glorious thing. This is what it means to sit in the heavenlies with Christ. We can have his presence with us constantly. What a glorious blessing. And God has made that change in our own experience. We can feel, we can know his presence now, even in the presence, even in the midst of all the difficulties that we see in the world going on round about us. What a wonderful blessing to sit with him in the presence of God in the heavenlies. And then I want to enlarge a little bit on that term, sit in his presence. That means you don't just dash in and dash out. It's really a continual thing. We sit down and abide with him. And so all of these things, we're not oblivious to our surroundings. We're not ignorant of what's coming on. But bless God, we do have the spirit of his presence among us. And that gives to us the very peace and wonder that he has brought to us. That's the change that Jesus has made because we read these glorious terms, but God commended his love to us. Then notice further that he has given to us, verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, what glorious exceeding riches God has given to us. We rejoice that God has given to us so many natural blessings. We rejoice in the clothing he's given us, the food we have to eat, the places we have to stay, to lay down our heads in peace and be able to sleep and all of these things. We have all of that because God has given it to us. He has provided it for us. But we must never be satisfied simply with that. The riches we are talking about are spiritual blessings, spiritual riches. We have commented on these. We have brought messages before on them. So many spiritual blessings. It's wonderful just to go through just the book of Ephesians. They're all through the scripture. But just to go through the book of Ephesians and see the spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings means that which applies to our spirit, which we can take right on into glory. I rejoice in the vehicle that God has given me to drive, but that thing is not going to go to glory. However, God is giving me riches that will go right along with me into glory, and I will enjoy them for eternity. One spiritual blessing that he's given. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It means that what God creates in my life here will go right on into glory with me. These are the things we need to search out, to understand, and to rejoice in because God has made this change in my life through the Lord Jesus Christ. It only comes because but God made these glorious changes in my life and experience. Then I want to turn to the 10th chapter of Luke. This also another wonderful change that he has made in our lives, or he wants to make in our lives and experience. We read again this same terminology. Luke 10 and verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son who the Son is but the Father. Notice this last phrase, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Again, that little word, but, and it tells us that the Son will reveal the Father. As I thought on this, I began to wonder and I began to meditate a little bit. What did Jesus know about his Father? We know that he knew that God was his Father at the age of 12. I must be about my Father's business. But his knowledge and his appreciation, his understanding of God, of the Father, grew from that point. We know that Jesus said, I know that thou hearest me always. And you go through the scripture and find so many other things that Jesus knew of his Father. And he says here, no one knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. This is the change that Jesus wants to bring in our lives, that we too understand the Father. There are many in our day who do not understand, who do not appreciate or even know about the fatherhood of God. Even in their prayer, it is just praying into God Almighty or something of this nature. But we need to have this spiritual understanding and intimacy of coming into the presence of the very God of the universe, however he is my Father. Jesus can tell us, but the Son can tell us exactly who that Father is. I think one good place to start for that is the 17th chapter of John. That is the Lord's Prayer. It is here that Jesus addressed God as his Father. And if you go through that chapter, just look for the things that Jesus knew of his Father at that time. He knew a God of love. He knew a God of compassion. And this is really a very important one. He knew of his gifts, and he knew of the decisions that the Father makes for his sons. Jesus knew at that time. He prayed that prayer the night he was arrested. He would be hanged on the cross the next day. He knew his Father had made the decision that he should go to the cross. This is why that it is so important for us to know that our Father makes some decisions for us in our lives. They may not always be easy, but we must accept them from the hand of a loving Father who knows what he's doing. And Jesus understood that. He would pass that knowledge on to us. He would reveal this part of the Father unto us if we allow him to do so. And then with all of those other wonderful things that he states in John 17, taking him right on into glory, Jesus understood all of that about his Father. And we find that we can do exactly the same thing in our own experience. He will impart the same knowledge that Jesus has of his Father's, we find here in this text. He will deliver that unto us, that we might know the Father just as Jesus knew and knows his Father. And then the changes in our lives bring us to a glorious time of freedom. Let's go to the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. John 8, these are very familiar verses that we are reading. But I trust that God gives us insight that is going to increase and enhance our walk before the Lord today. The enjoyment of being in the presence of God as he indeed makes himself known unto us. Indeed changes, makes changes in our lives to manifest what he wants to do. John 8, and we read in verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Once again, I want to notice, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son. Here comes the change. Because the Son abiding in the house means that he is ruler over that house. We also notice the difference in the Son and the servant. I know there are many Christians today who think there is nothing better than to serve the Lord. We have stated so many times that yes, we do need a servant's heart, but we do not want a servant relationship with God. We must have the relationship between the Son and a Father. This is what Jesus has given to us if we only take it. And so the Apostle Paul makes this same contrast of those who would serve the law. They would be servants rather than sons. And God has made this change in our lives if we but allow Him to actually implement it. And so as Jesus said here, the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son does. But the Son. And then, if the Son therefore shall make you free. This is a revelation that He would give unto us. And that is this change for absolute freedom in Christ Jesus. We have pointed out over the years that redemption or freedom indeed is always twofold. It's not only freedom from, but it's freedom to. We rejoice that He gave us freedom from the guilt of our sin the moment that we believed. What a weight lifted off us, and what a blessing that God brought unto us when He let us know that no longer are we guilty of sin because Jesus has taken it all away. We are freed, learning the freedom from the very power of sin. Sin can't dictate to me anymore, according to Romans 6. God gives to us that wonderful freedom as a son of God over the very power of sin. There's freedom from the power of the flesh. There's freedom from the power and the influence of Satan. All of that is freedom from, and we rejoice. But we've said again and again, our deliverance is to. And so the freedom to enjoy the glorious blessings and wonderful power that is given to sons of God is astounding when we begin to see what God has for us and we have in Him. Because as a son of God, we have the freedom to reach out and lay hold of all the treasures of this household, and they translate to being the glorious spiritual riches of which we spoke there in Ephesians. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. This is what God has given to His sons who will take hold of this place, of their newfound favor, their newfound prestige, their newfound standing in this house. We stand as sons of God, even as Jesus is the Son over His house. We have the entire storehouse of God's blessing at our disposal today. And why? Because the Son has made me free. Then I want to close with 1 John, the 3rd chapter. 1 John 3. Let us begin with verse 1. Because John continues with the same thought that we have concerning the sons of God. Rather than being servants of God, servants of the law, as Paul described, verse 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Once again, it was Jesus, and it is Jesus, who informs us of this change in our lives, that God is now my Father. That is something there's just no end to the revelation and instruction that God can give us because He is our Father. And so here, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And then He tells us, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. We can take instruction and realize that the world is not going to treat us any differently than it did Jesus. the Son of God right here among them, and yet they disdained him. They pushed him aside. They discounted him. The same thing happens in our day, but it doesn't make any difference because we are indeed not of this world. But as we see, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, and we need to get a hold of this little word, now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It is something that we must take at this present time, at this present moment, to realize the change that God has made in my life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And here's our little word, but we know. A change from what we've known to what God has revealed unto us. A change in the knowledge that God has given to us. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is the glorious hope that we have of change that is coming for this mortal body. We know that we've already been changed in our innermost being. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the feeling. We don't have that awareness of guilt because he's taken that away. We also know that he has changed our desires from the things of this world unto the things of glory. And now we find we know, but we know that a glorified body, another body, as we see here, when he shall appear, we shall be like unto him. That refers to the glorified body that we shall have like unto the body of Jesus. There are many things that we can already see about that body. It is not a body of flesh and blood. Jesus said, I have flesh and bones after his resurrection. I don't think he had to eat, but he did. He took some fish, I believe, with them. We know that he came through the wall rather than through the door. And yet he said, I'm not a spirit, but I have a body. And so these things are things that are peculiar to this new body that he has and that Jesus has and indeed that he will give unto us. And so we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that is, in the glorified state. This is the knowledge that he has given to us. I love the way that the Apostle Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And again, that little word, but, means a change is coming. And he says it directly, we shall all be changed. That means, when he says we shall not all sleep, that means, as we have seen so many times, that every believer is not going to have to die. We are looking for that in our day, that we need not go by way of the grave, but regardless of whether we go by way of the grave or whether we are translated, the result is the same. We shall all be changed. We are all going to have that body of glory like unto the body of Jesus. Just as quickly as God transforms us when Jesus comes again, our body is to be changed unto a body of glory, exactly like Jesus. And so today, let us concentrate on these wonderful changes that God will make, that He does make. He's already made, and He will yet change us into that body like unto Jesus' body of glory. But God, that is a wonderful, wonderful statement, because it means change is on the way, and they are wonderful changes for us.